Are you constantly struggling with how to function in society? Do you need someone to make you laugh on occasion? Are you wanting to share your thoughts and opinions? Well, have I got a show for you. My name is Garrett, host of Garrett Talks to Himself, a segmented, interactive podcast where I do all of these things. Head to anchor.fm/GTTH to subscribe wherever you listen. I'll be waiting.
Hi, everybody. It's Mac Jackson. I wanted to invite you to a new site called the Forever Adventure Network. This website has everything. Pictures, videos, blogs. There's original music by Harmony Constant. Two podcasts. One is the MacGyver Podcast, where we celebrate Richard Dean Anderson, his iconic roles, and how it's influenced our lives. There's episode discussions, interviews, and life conversations. The second podcast is the Never Gets Old Podcast, where we celebrate all the best things that we love in life, from TV, movies, music, and comics. The site is also the home for the MacGyver SG-1 audio series, an ongoing adventure series that continues the adventures of MacGyver and SG-1. There are also multiple stores to choose from for all of your pop culture and adventure needs. Come on by and check us out today. And thanks for joining the adventure.
Don't you ever wish you were down there?
I'm down there all I need to be.
Yes, but it's just a job to you. I'm talking about going down there and having some fun. Maybe with someone special. No. No dating for the Batman. It might cut into your brooding time.
1. Dating within the team always leads to disaster. 2. You're a princess from a society of immortal warriors. I'm a rich kid with issues. Lots of issues. And 3. If my enemies knew I had someone special, they wouldn't rest until they'd gotten to me through her.
Next.
I am Duncan MacLeod of the Clan MacLeod.
My name is Ichabod Crane.
Name's MacGyver.
Colonel Jack O'Neill, SG-1.
I am Batman!
Hello, I'm the Doctor.
So there's this man, he has a time machine. Up and down history he goes, zip, 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 getting into scrapes.
For years, and maybe more than that, right, Mac? But how long has it been? Has it been 6, 7 years ago?
Are you telling me that you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
Hey, now wait a minute. Now wait just a minute.
Human beings were not meant to sit in little cubicles staring at computer screens all day.
I've got something for you.
Oh, merci, Sonor.
Just one more thing, sir.
Oh, boy.
Just like that. Bing, bang, boom.
At this point, I'd settle for the boom.
They'd love it here, don't you think?
This is what I'm saying.
And by the way, where is your podcast? Tell everybody that's here.
Welcome to the Never Gets Old Podcast. The podcast of all we love in TV, movies, music, and comics. With your hosts, Mac Jackson and Nathan Shell. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, and YouTube. Donations at paypal.com at macwjackson@comcast.net.
Listen to my chapin' songs. DJ saying that they're too long. His guitar may be silenced, but his soul goes on and on. Alone again, alone again. His stories were like us, a beginning and an end. Alone again. Now I listen in my room.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the Never Gets Old Podcast. I'm your host, Mac Jackson.
And I'm Nathan Shell.
And this is the podcast of all we love in TV, movies, comics, and music.
And life in general.
What?
And life in general.
Sure, life. Yeah, exactly.
I always try and make sure I don't trip over that because I'm like TV, movies, something and a thing, comics, and then I can never remember the other M.
Yeah, it's just one of those things you get used to saying it in your head, and then you go to vocalize, and it's like, oh, doggone it, what was it that I meant to say?
I said movies already, didn't I? That'll work.
Yeah, you could always just go movies and media.
Yeah, but I want to specifically point out that we're talking about music, which let's start there. In the world of music, for me personally, this is kind of neat. David Gray, his breakthrough album, White Ladder, is 20 years old. And so to celebrate, he came out with like a deluxe, 20th anniversary thing. Mm-hmm. And it has a lot of the quote-unquote lost B-sides. But if you're someone like me, I've had the B-sides for many years.
Well, for 20 years.
Well, through the years, you find them, one way or another. And it has that on there, but it also has like some demos for some of them. And the whole album has been remastered, which, according to him, he just said means louder. You can't really improve on. There was no problems with it to begin with, so
yeah,
it's not like it's 50 years old or something,
Yeah, it's not like it was recorded on reel to reel way back when,
But one of the great things about it is if you go to his YouTube page, in the last few years, he's been really prolific. That's not the word for showing his face on video. But he's done a lot of like behind the scenes. Hey, we're in the studio. We're recording. Here's what this song means. And here's how he came up with the idea for this one. And I love that crap. That's why with like DVDs or the DC animated movies, I always
getting that
the extra
that extra feature of seeing, like, my niece, she loves watching the behind the scenes features of movies on all of it. When she house sat for us back in August, early September, she went through and watched, I can't even tell you how many DVDs, and watched all the special stuff, and it's like she's asking me questions and I'm like, I have not.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, whenever they come out with the DC animated movies, I love the thing where they show the talking heads of, here's the history of the Penguin. And, that little, I love it because it gets my creative juices flowing. It makes me want to be part of that world. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's the, it's getting to see the love for these characters, not just from our perspective, but also from their perspective as well.
Yeah, and to hear that the level. Stories of why they chose to do whatever. And with David Gray, it's that only for music. These songs that I've loved for however long, or even if they're brand new, I get to hear little, cool nuggets of stuff. And one of the things he's doing now on his YouTube page is he's showing you how to play all the songs from White Ladder.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. A bunch of them I already do. I figured them out on my own. But it's neat to see if I was
accurate
or if there's an easier way, more importantly. Am I doing this?
Yeah.
Turns out, the one song, Say Hello, Wave Goodbye, Mikey said, you do that better. Which it's basically, it's the same chords, like G, A, and C. Well, he's playing the same, but his fingers are different. It's hard to explain if you're not a guitar player, but you're still hitting the notes, but because his hands are achieving the same chord in a different way, it's not hitting all the notes in that chord. You know what I mean? Whereas if I'm hitting it, it's ringing a little crisper.
Gotcha.
Because I'm playing it my way and then I'm playing it his way. And I'm like, they both work, But in the end, I'll probably stick to the way I was doing it. Whereas another great song that I love, We're Not Right, he made it, I think, easier. Except he's doing these bar frets for chords that you don't have to do bar frets for. I think it's just easier for him to slide up and down the neck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm like, okay, that's good. And then I see some of them, he's making up his own chords as he goes. I don't know if you know the song, well, not Sail Away. Oh, I can't think of what the heck it is. But anyway, he starts playing it. He goes, all right, capo on two. And we go all the way down to the 18th fret. I'm like, what? Okay. And see, you're going to use all five fingers on this one. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not, because I'm not going to play that one. if it's that hard where I'm going to hurt myself, you know. But yeah. Mikey's watching it with me because, again, to hear it raw kind of inspires
it's that,
you.
Yeah, it's that – it gives you that deeper appreciation for what he does, though.
Exactly.
Too, because he's sharing not only a part of himself through that music, but he's also sharing a part of himself with you through the process of how he achieved that, too.
Exactly. And Mikey's watching it with me because, you know, when you hear – I'm a sucker for just raw acoustic anyway, but – and to hear him play his own song so raw – it's inspiring. Well, Mikey's watching it with me because he feels the same way because he's learning how to play guitar. Mm-hmm. And at one point he goes, did he just make up that chord? I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Which is great. I mean, it's inspirational. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, how badly do I really want to play this song? Silver Lining, I think. Yeah, Silver Lining isn't a strumming song. It's a picking song. So not only is he doing this weird chord, but he's picking it in such a way that I'm like, oh, I'd love to play that, but I don't really know if... He even admits, he goes, it's better if you have two guitars, because while I'm doing all this picking, I have this other strumming part which counters it and fills it in a little bit. I'm like, okay, if I can learn the strumming part, good enough.
There you go.
You know? But, yeah, if I remember, I'll send you a link to one of them. And it's, even if, you know, it's just fun to watch. It's 3 minutes.
Sounds interesting to check out, yeah.
What else? Movie news. Karen Allen was not lying to us when we saw her at Chiller last year. Indiana Jones 5 apparently starts filming in the spring.
Oh, very cool.
Right? Harrison Ford just came out and said
something
that.
I think I'd seen something about that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm thrilled. You know what baffles me, though, I'll tell you? Maybe, I hope I'm right. I mean, at least from my viewpoint, it's easy. They should be cranking these suckers out over and over and over again, but they always get stuck with what they call the MacGuffin, which is, what is their reason for going on this quest? Is it the Holy Grail? Is it, you know? I can come up with 10 off the top of my head any day of the week. There's the Spear of Destiny, which they've made books on. They made a comic book series. You know, you can go down the line. The fact that they get stuck on this type, I don't know how you feel, but Indiana Jones is one of those characters that you can easily write.
There's artifacts that they could easily have had him go after.
Right?
I think it boils down to they want to pick stuff that is
real
and recognizable. But I mean, for crying out loud, you got the Shakara stones from
Temple of Doom.
Let's be honest. Did you hear the Shakara stones before Temple of Doom?
No, sure as heck. But you know what? I'm pretty sure they are somewhere out there. You know what I mean?
They are actually a thing. Yeah. The Shakara stones themselves are actually an example of, Josh Gates just had talked about this in an episode that Jess and I just watched. It's an example of a artifact that imbues power to somebody.
Yes.
You know, but there's an insane number of artifacts out there that they could get. I think it boils down to someone just, for whatever reason, grasping at straws and not realizing that all they've got to do is do a 5-second Google search, artifacts of power. There you go. You could probably get a list of at least 100, you know.
And what they have to remember is, and I wish I could go back in time and just point it out to the three of them, the item isn't as important as the adventure. Mm-hmm. We're going to see Indiana Jones. He could be going to find the lost Tic Tac, and you already have my money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not that big a deal. Don't be so precious about it. Let's just make a good script and dump him into an adventure.
Yeah.
And apparently the rumor is, which I'll tell you, I don't mind this. Remember how they were talking about, oh, we're going to reboot it maybe? And the mm-hmm. world said no, including mm-hmm. Harrison Ford. He says, Indy dies when I die. And I love that.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it makes sense that instead of having... I've always been... You and I have had this conversation countless times, I feel. I don't care if they want to revisit a universe, revisit characters, but don't... Just stop the
reboot. Never reboot it. Yep.
This one. Prime example. We have, in our day and age, at least... I mean, and I said his name earlier. Josh Gates is a prime example of a modern-day Indiana Jones. He doesn't strictly focus on, you know, one area of history. The program we were watching is called Expedition Unknown.
Sure.
You know, the first episode dealt with, I want to say it was Amelia Earhart, and potential locations where she could have gone down. And, you know, unfortunately, it was most of what he discovered was either inconclusive, or while he was there, he's like, well, no, that's not right, because the airplane that she had, the struts for the wheels were designed in this way, and this one, the wheels are designed this way. So, you know, it's like, okay, that's, you know, he is the modern day equivalent of Indiana Jones. So what they could easily do is keep the franchise of Indiana Jones alive, but instead of having it be Henry Jones Jr., have it be his kid, his grandkid.
Well, this is what I was going to tell you. Since nobody liked Mutt, because he was just a punk, yeah. You can easily write him off. He went off to college, and he's doing something else. Yeah. And we know from the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles that he does have other children.
Mm-hmm.
The rumor is... they're going to give him a daughter that will then carry on. That way, Indiana Jones goes on. You're not touching him.
Mm-hmm.
But now we could also watch the adventures of Anna Jones. You know, yeah. Indiana Jones, or whatever they want to call her.
Yeah.
I love that. That's fine. Yeah. Because they're not trampling on the greatness of what Indiana Jones
is. Nope. They're basically taking a page out of James Bond's book, where every couple of years they get a new James Bond. Now it looks like they're going to do something which I think is just as smart. Instead of, okay, this person is the new James Bond, it's this person is the new 007.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's always been the fan theory.
Yeah,
it's not the same guy, it's a title.
Yeah, it's just the name and the number were code number, were a code name and the number.
Yeah,
well, I'll now deal it looks, with,
that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, what little bit I've seen for the new James Bond movie, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I mean,
they want to make possibly Henry Cavill be the next James Bond.
Well, he's not in the next movie.
No.
It is the I mean, after this chick has run her course as
chick.
Yeah, it's the lady that was Maria Rambeau in the Captain Marvel movie, which I had no clue she was British.
Oh, they all are.
Yeah.
Odds are strong if it's a person acting, odds are strong they're, you know, not American. But yeah, she is playing the new 007.
What?
And from what little bit I've seen, like initially I had seen reports of this, and I'm like,
wait, Daniel Craig is done?
This is his last movie. It's his last film is James Bond. He's coming out of retirement in the film.
Okay.
Because at the end of
Spectre? Not Skyfall, because I saw Skyfall.
Yes, it was Skyfall and Spectre.
Right.
After Spectre, he retired.
Oh, okay. At least
that's what they're heavily implying. And then No Time to Die, he's brought out of retirement because of something going on with the woman that he left with. The woman that he saved from Bloatfilt.
Okay.
So
I haven't caught up on those.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting what they've been smart by not showing her very heavily in the trailers.
Mm-hmm. So they're in it together, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they're in it together. This is the transition film. It's okay. She's the new 007. And
we'll have to see if that goes over.
Yeah, I mean what I've seen of it. I'm looking forward to it because it seems promising. I mean, Daniel Craig had come out and said, you know, he doesn't necessarily want to be doing this for the rest of his life. You know, so the fact that,
Corin Nemec and I were talking about it. Ride that horse into the ground. You stay as long as you possibly can until they pry your cold, dead fingers from it.
Yeah.
You know, because so many people get precious and, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. And then you never see them again.
Yeah.
Because,
the nice thing is, we're going to get to see. Have you seen the movie Knives Out?
Oh, I'm dying to see it. Cindy and I are going to see it because I love that type of detective Columbo type of stuff.
I am convinced this is Daniel Craig's next franchise.
Without a doubt. Because they're already planning a sequel.
Yeah, while they were filming it, Daniel Craig and Rian Johnson were actually sitting around talking about the possibility of going further with this than just this one-off movie.
Love it.
And everybody seemed like they were on board, so it's like, yes, I want to see more of this.
As soon as I can see it, I will.
Okay, I know it is going to be released. Well, I know it's out digitally now through various means, and I know it's being released on physical format next Tuesday because Jess and I are going to pick it up.
Nice. Let me know because Cindy and I, usually when we have time to watch something together without the kids, it's been one of the Marvel shows. Right now it's season 2 of Luke Cage. Gotcha. So that's one of the ones that we're like, we'll pause that to see Knives Out.
Yeah. I will say that the entire cast in it was stellar.
Of course. Yeah.
Chris Evans to God, everybody. Everybody was just phenomenal.
Yeah. Let's also talk about the first image of the Batman outfit.
With Robert Pattinson.
Yep.
With is it Matt Reeves?
Yes.
Is that the name of the
Director.
Yeah, the director.
That's him. Because I know that because I sent him a tweet to say, where's the middle of the symbol? That outfit looks perfect so far, except for the emblem.
The emblem looks a bit odd to me. Like, the shape of it looks
perfect.
Fine.
It
almost looks like it's got pieces of, like, layered metal or something.
Do you know why? This is what I heard.
All right, what's this?
Which, I get nervous when they decide to play with the mythology, because, as you know, don't touch the mythology.
Unless they're going to expand on it, but yeah.
Expanding's fine, but don't try and rewrite origin stories to, you know. In this case, that emblem is parts of Joe Chill's gun that killed his parents. I cannot say that for sure, but that is what I've heard.
I heard that, and after looking at the photos, I don't see how it's possible. I don't see components of a gun there.
Right. They're saying, he melted it down and made it into the emblem. In which case, I also have to say, where is the middle of it? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that just...
We need the ears and the bottom part. Other than that, I'm like, everything else looks fantastic.
It almost looks like a streamlined Batarang, which is, for a Batarang, that would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that just...
I'm hoping it'll get fixed. Casting-wise,
I have no problem with anybody that they've cast in the film. I'm excited to see it. But yeah, that's just... It looks weird. I'm sure as the movie comes out, that'll be...
Here's what's going through my mind.
A non-issue.
This is something we've said before, I think. But I want to say it again because... It succinctly states... superhero pitfalls that are completely avoidable. Especially, let's talk about DC.
Mm-hmm.
Stop trying to make, and this goes for, again, showrunner's oath, but in this case, we could say director, producer, whoever. Stop trying to make it your own. We do not have a solid foundation based on correct mythology. You have to be true to the characters, true to the comics. Stop trying to change things to say, look, this is the Chris Nolan Batman or this is the Sam Raimi Spider-Man. Sometimes that can work. But overall, DC in particular, stop. Do it right, and then once people have seen, 10 years of it being done true, then you can get gutsy. Then you can, you're rebooting a franchise. Let's use Batman, for example. Batman does 2 or 3 films, and then they stop, and then they just start again. That's fine. But do it right the first time. It's a very clear, simple mythology to follow. There's nothing that makes it impossible to do nowadays. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely get that. It's like the one thing that I loved the Tim Burton Batman films. Mm. They were phenomenal. Mm. But the one thing that got my goat from day one was the fact that they made the Joker, Jack Napier. At least that's
the moniker. Right.
They gave him a name, which that was what it
unnecessary,
was.
Unnecessary, sure.
But for the sake of the story that they were telling, it made sense that they had to give him a name, whatever.
But again, when you write it and go, change things so that I could do my movie.
Yeah, it's like, okay. For all we know, Jack, he might have been lying about his name, and he just call me Jack, fine, whatever. But to make him be the man responsible for the creation, the inception of Batman, that always kind of, to me, bugged me, because the whole point was it was a
random act of violence.
Until the name Joe Chill was revealed, it was just a random thug that needed the money for a fix, for food, whatever. We didn't know the motivation. We just knew that this faceless a-hole killed the Waynes.
There you go. And you know what else? The fact that everything except the Chris Nolan did right this way, but everybody else has done it wrong. They have Batman kill. Batman does not kill. That is his creed. It's too easy to kill, which is what makes him even more phenomenal. He's human. He has no superpowers. And yet he's so good that he doesn't need to kill people. You know what I mean? And
no, I completely get it.
They never, ever do it right.
That is something that still just that bothers me. Now, I'm trying to remember what Kevin Conroy had said in a message.
Kevin Smith said, which was great.
I got a birthday wish from Kevin Conroy. Yeah, just got it for me through something called Cameo.
Oh, he did the Cameo thing. Okay.
Yeah, and I had actually posted it on my Facebook page, but he had this beautiful, very philosophical, deep, you know, poignant kind. Well, it was one-sided conversation because it was a video, but he just had this beautiful way of wrapping Batman up very nicely. And I wish I remembered what it was. I'll have to go back and find it on my timeline.
Definitely.
But it's very true. Like there's basically it was the Batman he portrayed in the crossover event was a Batman who had lost literally everything, from his humanity to his friendships to his soul.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's very true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like, that bugs me that I can't remember what it was exactly he said.
Well, if you're able to share it on the Never Gets Old page.
Yeah, I'll have to kick it onto the Never Gets Old group and or onto the page so folks can reference it. But Batman is one of those things. Like, I know I remember hearing something where years ago in the comics, supposedly, and I'd have to dig through 80 plus years of content to fact check this, but apparently, supposedly, you know, years ago in the comics, there was a time where Batman did kill people.
Oh, yeah. In the first couple issues, he carried a gun.
Yeah.
But in that case, they hadn't figured him out yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Batman, without Bob Kane and Bill Finger.
Yeah, it's Bill
without
Finger.
Those two guys, Batman would not be what he is today.
Well, Batman wouldn't be. That's the thing.
Yeah, well, you know, Batman would have gone into obscurity like so many other comic book characters, you know.
What was I going to tell you? Kevin Smith, I always remember, you know, he did that famous Q&A that they actually play now and again, A Night with Kevin Smith, I think it's called. And he's talking about Tim Burton. Mm-hmm. And Tim Burton very arrogantly said, I've never read a comic book in my entire life. And Kevin Smith said, and that explains Batman 89.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's clear. It's a Tim Burton film through and through, except for the fact that he had Batman in it. But if you look at Batman, he's killing people. You know what I mean? And he's kind of as dark as he is, they play up the levity a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the Tim Burton, which Feel worked good. For that, except for the things we talked about. The Jack Napier thing. Mm-hmm. And the tied in with the origin is too cutesy. And Batman killing people. I mean, the second one, he straps a bomb onto this guy, punches him, he falls into a hole and blows up. Like, hey, you get to be arrested now too, Batman.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know,
at least
you take
Nolan
away the magic.
Yeah, at least with the Nolan films, he
never killed.
He tried to at least make sure that if he had to put someone down, so to speak, he caused them physical harm.
He'd cripple them. That's Batman.
Not,
that's what you
not
can
mortality,
do.
You know.
He even says, there's that famous line that I always love from Batman Begins. I don't have to kill you, but I don't have to save you either.
Yep.
Like, very
and
good.
Just,
yep. So there was that. Oh, speaking of neat close encounters, a couple times within the past week or so, Anthony Michael Hall has commented on my posts.
Yeah?
Yeah. He said, I forget what he's saying. Oh, he's talking about he's going to be on the Goldbergs again.
Oh, that's cool.
Which Mikey's really into now in the past week or so, just enjoying it. And so he posted on Instagram, you know, I just filmed my third appearance. And so I said, you know, my son and I are on the fourth season of Dead Zone, which we love and adore. And he came running into me and saying, oh, hey, Anthony Michael Hall's on the Goldbergs. And, you know, by saying that, he commented back and said, you know, that's a sweet story. That made my day. I love it. Like, he'll go back and forth with you. And then the other day, if you go on the Never Gets Old Twitter page, everybody can see this. Joe Malozzi had posted a GIF of lightning shooting in the middle of, like, I don't know, New York or whatever. But mm-hmm. it's nighttime, and you could actually see the lightning bolts shoot from the ground up.
Okay.
And it looks really, really powerful, really, really impressive. And he posted something like, Thor Odinson on 83rd and Main. Right? So that's not where my mind goes. I wrote, no, actually, that was a quickening. Duncan is at it again.
That was good.
Adrian Paul, Duncan MacLeod himself, posted back and said, yeah, whew, that one took a lot out of me.
Oh, that's great.
I love it. See, and that's the good people. That's I love that.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that a number of these celebrities, and I think a number of them are starting to realize that
it's safe.
they can't necessarily get to everybody.
No.
You know. But if they see something that just, you know, made them chuckle or is like, you know what, that actually was pretty clever, you know, just take that 5 seconds.
Don't forget that you're a person too.
Yeah.
And that's I love that. You know, good people being good to people. That's what I always say.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, do you watch Prodigal Son?
Yes.
Should I? Because Everly, Cindy is saying you need to start watching this.
I think you will enjoy it.
Okay.
It deals with the son of a serial killer
sure.
who's turned a profiler. It's good. I'm curious to see how long the show's gonna last.
Because it's on Fox, and Fox owns everything.
Yes, but Fox is actually starting to get better.
Well, we'll see how season two goes.
They're still sticking to that, you know, they're trying better. It's funny, one of the girls on a podcast that Jess listens to, I think it's called Two Girls, One Ghost. It's a paranormal podcast, is a writer for the series.
Oh, nice.
So that was pretty cool.
Because remember,
it's
Sleepy
it's
Hollow, incredible. Second season, they got a different showrunner on Sleepy Hollow, and it had and troubles it, after that.
You could tell the definitive difference between the two, yeah.
Yeah.
But, it's been enjoyable. Martin Sheen, Thomas Paine, or not Tom Paine, I don't think he goes by Thomas. Guy that played Jesus on Walking Dead.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. Although Jess and I think there's something that their mother is hiding. You can mention that to Cindy and she'd probably understand what Jess and I mean by that.
Right.
Since it sounds like she watches it.
Oh, but she loves it. She loves it. And she's after me to start watching it. I just haven't done it yet.
Yeah, it's quite enjoyable. The banter is just phenomenal.
Every time I look at the trailer or any scene of that, all I see is the fact that Finn Michael, was it? The one who's Iron Fist?
He's not in.
Jones. Finn Jones. Thank you, sweetie. She's in the other room. She's whispering, Jones! he was supposed to be the lead for that.
Oh, was he?
Oh, yeah. And if you look at that, the father looks more like him. The way he acts, at least from the pilot clips that I've seen, I'm like, oh, yeah, you could see this was originally meant for him.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
I mean, the actor playing him, I think, is doing a phenomenal job. phenomenal job. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I'll let you know when I start watching that. I just haven't had a chance yet. But yeah, apparently they did a table reading. I remember watching this quote unquote live on the day. They're like, oh, today we're starting the first table read for Prodigal Son. And, next thing you know, they're recasting it. I guess from the table read, the chemistry wasn't right. They said it just wasn't anybody's fault. It just, between the father and son dynamic, it just didn't work.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, so you know how we tend to watch, depending on the night, we might watch a MacGyver or we might watch a Stargate. Or I told you we're on the second season of Supernatural.
I don't think you told me which season you were on, but you did tell me you were going through Supernatural.
Yeah, it's, you know, whenever we're up for it. Well, we also started...
got 15 years to watch, so...
Yeah, yeah. I'll be a little busy. We started Saturday, we watched the first episode of Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, okay.
It's 3 hours.
Jesus!
Yeah.
That, yeah. Wow.
No, he's on The Walking Dead. We're talking about Little House. Sorry, I couldn't help it. But wow, yeah, it was a journey.
Absolutely bonkers.
Yeah. We're like, wow, we're enjoying this, but isn't this over yet? And I paused it, and I'm like, there's an hour and a half left. Jeez, how much tragedy can this family go through in 3 hours? So
a lot.
So Mikey is at the age where he's starting to really understand the mythology of Stargate.
Oh, that's good.
Which is wonderful because he's asking, wait a minute, what happens if you go through the portal on the other side? And what's the portal called? And, you know, all of that, which is fun. Because he's a deep thinker and thinks about the smart stuff, too. Well, he wanted to go back and watch episodes from the first season when they didn't quite know each other so well. And it's neat. It's neat to go back and, oh, wow, okay, she was still calling him this and, you know. And, oh, so that's where that came from. And how they called it the embarkation room in the beginning instead of the gate room. Things like that. But he decided for Halloween he wants to be Jack O'Neill.
I'm sure he happens to know somebody that can help him get what he needs. A little
bit, yes. Well, it's funny because we'll be twinsies because I'll just wear my stuff anyway. Man. But he ordered himself the custom-made dog tags, which he got, which he wears all the time now. Okay, he got the fingerless gloves. I'd already got him
the hat.
A green hat and a taupe hat. Now he wants to get a black hat because during the first season, sometimes he'd wear a black hat.
Yep.
And a little later on too, but anyway, he's really into it. Well, much to everyone's dismay, you cannot get those jackets unless you want to pay
out
$200-$300. Not gonna happen.
I mean, it'd be different if he was not a child and he was more, you know, how big he's going to be.
Sure.
You know, as a young
but even
adult,
then,
adult.
For that amount of money, not
at that
do
point.
It.
Yeah, at that point, it'd be like, okay, how often is he going to use it? Is it something he could use?
Oh, he'll longer? Use it because here's what we're doing instead. Remember the first season, or at least for the first half of the season, their jackets were, even though they had that collar, they were basically an average flight jacket. Mm-hmm. It was the same material as a... And I already have a blue one and a black one. Well, he got a navy blue one last year, which he wears all the time because it's MacGyver.
Yeah.
Well, I pointed out to him, if we get a green one, we'll just... Remember I was asking you about the gluing patches?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to get Velcro and glue the Velcro on there so that way he can put the patches on. And when he wants to, if he wants to, he could always swap them out with something else.
There you go. I would suggest
Because you can't sew that material. That's the thing. I wouldn't even chance it. I don't want to.
If you were to have it stitched, I would suggest going to either a tailor.
Sure.
Someone that's got the equipment. Like over here where we're at, we've got Fort Indian Town Gap. There's, I think, a tailor in town that I could theoretically go to. Or if I, you know, want a chance to just say, hey, Mom, could you do this for me? Mm-hmm.
Well, I looked online for the patches that you can buy the circles. Because I already ordered the set of patches for him and a set of patches for me. Because not only am I getting him the green flight jacket, it's $30. I'm getting myself one, too.
Might as well, yeah.
You know, because I could... I want to wear not just those patches, but our friend Cliff Bruno had sent me that care package of MacGyver stuff.
Oh, very cool.
And with it was, with the Velcro already attached, the Swiss Army Knife Collector is the one, and then the other is the MacGyver School of Engineering.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So I figure if I have them on, I could just swap them with Stargate ones when I want.
Yeah, just keep all the patches in your pocket and you're good to go.
Yeah. But and I already bought the glue, patch glue.
Okay.
So now I just have to go to like a local, there's Joann's Fabrics. Once those patches come in, somebody said just walk in and say, I need Velcro for these. And then they'll just cut them up for me right then and there.
Yeah, help you out.
Yeah, I hope so. But yeah, he's all about it. He's drawn the Stargate all the time and drawn Jack and, you know.
Very cool.
Yeah. Anything new TV-wise for you?
Well, Jess and I finally got our streaming stuff straightened out so that I can get caught up on goofy shows like Tacoma FD because the two showrunners for that I adore. They're guys that have been friends for 20 plus years that, you know, are just living their life and having fun with it. But I got to watch, or like I said earlier with about Josh Gates, been getting caught up on Expedition Unknown. Mm-hmm. I hopefully will be able to finally get to start watching some of that Alone program that you've often.
Oh, you got to do that. Holy crap!
I might actually throw on an episode of that tonight.
Well, tell me when you do. Start from the beginning.
Yep.
And you'll zip through them.
Yep. The and I've also been watching a guilty pleasure show called Curse of Oak Island.
Oh yeah.
That's been interesting. This season they've actually been making some kind of discoveries, but they had to tangle with the hurricane that happened last year.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the episode just recently about that. Let's see here.
You know,
other news?
Yeah, go ahead.
We've got the Farpoint convention coming up for Dark Operations. We'll be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday showing stuff off. And we have gotten finally around to getting some merchandise. I got... I'll have to show you after we're done recording, but I got our patches in for the Eagle Squadron, our ship hats.
Nice.
I set up a TeePublic site for T-shirts, and I have a myriad of designs up there. Let's see. I've got my buddy that does acrylic signs to do up an acrylic sign display for the three different ships that will eventually be available on my website. Through commissionedcredentials.com.
Say it again, because I talked over you.
Commissionedcredentials.com.
There we go.
Because that's where you can find a bunch of the merchandise. It's either going to be there or Dark Operations on TeePublic. And the company that we have dealing exclusively with our embroidery stuff is a company out of Georgia called Creative Gems GA. And they do really cool stuff. They seem to deal with, there is a group online that deals with, it's a Space Fleet-based novel series. can't remember. It's something Harrington, or I'll have to give me a moment here. I can easily find it because they had their stuff on display at a convention or at Shore Leave last year, and I saw their stuff and I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. Let's see.
Well, while you're looking, here's some breaking news.
TRMN.
What is it?
Whatever that's. TRMN.
TRMN.
Yeah. Oh, let me see. Hopefully there's a description for one of these doggone items. Item details. That's less than helpful. Well, you know what? I will Google TRMN.
The while Royal you're doing
Manticore
that...
Navy. The Royal Manticore Navy.
The Royal Manticore Navy.
It's a book series by an author. Hold on. I just had it. Gone it. But apparently this is a... There's a huge costuming group that... Oh, come on. I just had the author's name. Oh, it's multiple authors. Okay.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Special thanks to... Mark. Come on, bring up the doggone page.
Well, listen, while you're...
Well, when eventually it gets around to it.
Yeah. Good Time star Jeanette DuBois passed away. It's breaking news, so I figured, hey, while you're looking, I might as well mention it. She passed away in her sleep. She was 74. She was Wilona Woods. Remember, she was the neighbor.
Okay, I was going to ask if that was the neighbor, because for some reason that popped into my head.
And actually the co-writer of their theme song, too.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, isn't that something?
All right, I believe the author's name is David Weber. W-E-B-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize to any people that are listening to our podcast that are probably screaming, no, it's this other guy. There was a list of, like, I'd say probably close to 50 different authors, but that name stuck with me because I remember seeing his, I remember seeing that name on a book cover.
Ah.
So, might have just been the author of that particular book, and I apologize if I'm wrong. So, I will stand corrected when we get corrected.
Oh, wait a minute.
So
let's take a moment and let me ask you, did you listen to the latest episode of the MacGyver SG-1 audio series?
No, I have not.
Okay, because you didn't start yelling at me.
I have been hesitant to because I don't want to end up yelling at you.
Aw, I was waiting for it.
Though I will very likely be listening to... my podcast that I have built up, because I've got at least a dozen podcasts, other podcasts that I've got to get caught up on and listen to.
Yeah.
So,
well, when you do, you won't have to wait long for the next one because I just recorded episode 10.
Oh, okay, cool.
So now after I waited to start editing because I wanted to get this episode done because I can crank this out quick. And gotcha. The audio series is a monster.
Yeah. But. Well, and it's interesting you mentioned that. With, you know, I'm producing the Studying Scarlet podcast with Jess and Ashley.
I was going to ask you to mention that.
I picked up on that brainwave. we've got the first four episodes recorded. They're primed and scheduled to be released, which
sweet.
I love this new setup that I've got for these things, which I'm hoping to implement for this podcast and our other podcasts. The Dark Operations audio series, I released the first episode on the 15th.
So you started that. That's yep. You never mentioned that before.
Well, yeah, I threw it on the Dark Ops page, but unfortunately, I guess posting stuff on the weekends is, you know, a death call, I guess, or something. But, yeah, so that's been out for... And you've heard... I mean, I gave you the preview of both
the
first two episodes. So the set, well, the third and fourth episode, which would have been the original second and third episodes, I have to sit down and I'm going to have to actually edit.
Mm-hmm.
So those will be coming out in April and May, respectively.
But you were March saying is, about her podcast, what were you going to say?
Yes, with her podcast, we've got the first four episodes done, edited, scheduled to go out. Then we've got, I've got to edit the starting the episodes for March. And I've got three of the five episodes recorded that I'll have to sit down and edit. And you're right. I mean, they do take it. Well, in our format, you know, it's relatively simple.
Sure.
You just, you know, nudge things over and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But with theirs, something I'm going to try to do is, because they're still new to this recording and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They do the pregnant pauses, the repeating themselves
type stuff.
And I just want to try to kind of like clean it up a little bit, you know, make it a little bit easier for them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
A little bit more presentable. But they're loving it. They enjoy it. Jess and Ashley will sit up in the office. I have a little recorder that they'll sit down and record with. And once their episode's done, I'll load it onto my computer. And then we'll break for dinner or whatever. And then I'll come back and finish up. And yeah. So, but they're having a blast. It's true crime on the Tuesday releases, and then fictional stuff, fictional crime, fictional criminals on the Friday releases.
Well, that's
so they
neat.
Try to do one episode a week, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go to record it, we'll record them in like 2-3 episode bursts that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Which is great when they're weekends where it's, or yeah, on months where it's only 4 weeks, but you get that odd month that you can get a fifth weekend. Makes it a little bit of a challenge.
Well, I'll give you a buckle up for the episode 9.
Okay.
And then that's going to spill into an action-packed episode 10.
Gotcha.
And there is a big surprise at the end of that one.
Okay. So. Yeah, and that's with everything you're doing with the MacGyver SG-1 series. I have a funny feeling, at least a small part of me is hoping that that's going to end up being something that we end up having. Me and the group with Dark Operations may end up having to deal with, so to speak, for Dark Ops audio series. I've said that to you for years.
This, you in particular, should write and do an audio series because.
Yeah.
You're your own boss. You don't have to wait on anybody else. You're in control, and you can do it when you feel like. I mean, that's, you know.
Oh, yeah, and what I'm going to try to tell, because one of the things we're going to be doing at the convention this upcoming weekend is sitting down and just brainstorming stuff, and one of the things I'm going to talk to the guys about is potential plans on moving forward with the audio series. Say, look, you know, this is where I think we could go with it. Here's what we could do. And, you know, you and I, we control our own release schedule. Now, you know, the last couple months have been a little bit hit or miss, but, you know, who would have thought I would have had problems with the computer just not holding a charge, and holidays always make things challenging. But with, you know, doing an audio series, theoretically, you could take the approach of some of these TV shows where, okay, we're going to do a season.
A season. They do
it. A season's going to be 10 episodes, 12 episodes.
Yep.
Okay, now we're going to take a 3-4-5 month break. While that month break is going, or while that time's going on, you could be writing your stories, editing them up. Okay, you know, I've got these episodes cut and ready to go. Let's get these on a release schedule. Hop
to
it, you know. And with this new format that I talked to you earlier about, I had every single episode of Studying Scarlet edited and scheduled out before the 1st of February.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire month of February, 1 o'clock on the 4th, the first episode dropped.
Yep.
1 a.m., I should specify. 1 a.m. on the 14th, the next episode dropped. 1 a.m. today, the second true crime episode dropped. 1 a.m. on the 18th. Wait. No, today is the 18th.
Today's the
1 a.m. on the 28th.
Right.
It'll the final one for February will drop. So I mean it's really cool. And the nice thing is with it, I can actually like I could hop on my phone right now, which heck I might as well cuz I'm sitting here looking at it. I can hop on here, go right into my page cuz I just keep my cell phone logged in. Mm-hmm. Just wait for it to refresh. And I can tell you exactly how many listeners everything or how many listeners total have listened to things from Studying Scarlet and Dark Operations.
Let's see.
Dark Operations has had 35 listeners.
Nice.
Studying Scarlet, 66. And nice. The cool thing is, I can go in here and tell you exactly how many people have listened to what. So, yep. For example, I've got Dark Operations, the teaser trailer, and the series trailer, and the first episode. Mm-hmm. We've had 13 people listen to the teaser, 14 for the trailer, and 8 for the first episode. So that's, you know, that's pretty doggone good.
I'm saying.
So.
That's wonderful. Yeah, and so hopefully that'll be easier for us, too, in all our
endeavors. Oh, absolutely. Which I will work on that this week before I leave for my trip.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Cool. So that cool. I can get those migrated over and we'll be groovy.
All right. Nice. All right. Well, I feel like we missed something, but we'll just have to save it for the next
time.
I'm
sure we probably did, because we always often do.
Yeah. And remember, guys, go to the Forever Adventure Network. I'm thinking N. There's an N in there. Never Adventure. Don't you ever adventure here. But, yeah, the Forever Adventure Network is up and running, and there, if you heard any of our intros, there's so much to see, I'm happy to say.
Oh, yeah, and they've got wonderful links so that if, for whatever reason, you don't listen to, you know, iTunes for whatever reason, how you'd be listening to this, I don't know. But, you know, say you're a fan of Stitcher or Podbean or Smoke Signal or whatever. Let us know. If we're not on there, we'll easily get on there.
Which has happened. Thank you, everybody, who's actually reached out to us and said, you know, I really want to listen to your podcast, but I don't have iTunes. Insert. I have whatever, Spotify. Boom, we're on Spotify.
Yeah, and the nice thing is with the new service that we're going to be going to, should automatically be on Google Podcasts.
Nice. There's also another one I found out. We're on Podchaser, it's called. And they sent me... Actually, I don't know how I found it. They've been supporting us in all of our podcasts and endeavors. So I clicked on it, and I have a creator profile page on there, too. And I all of a sudden got a follower, so...
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it doesn't cost you anything, and that way, if... Those who go to Podchaser, they're getting more than just our episodes.
Ruby.
Yeah. And don't forget we have what? Oh, there's Twitter. There's Instagram.
There's TeePublic. There's Redbubble. There's My Stuff. Or My Website. CommissionCredentials.com.
Yeah.
All kinds of ways you find folks can...
And Patreon.
And Patreon,
that's a big
yes.
one. If you want to help us, drop us a couple shillings into that bucket. Or just follow us on there, because it's nice to know that the blogs that I'm reading are actually being read.
Yep.
All right, everybody. So. We'll let you go. We will catch you next time. As always, don't forget... What are we not supposed to forget?
I believe it's Stay Creative. No, wait, that's the other podcast. Stay excited.
Stay excited, everybody. Bye.
See ya.
The Never Gets Old podcast is part of the Forever Adventure Network. Music by Harmony Constant. Some artwork by Joseph Arnold and Jared Brown. Donations can be made to Patreon, to Mac Jackson. Join our group pages on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Never Gets Old Pod. Please subscribe, rate, and review,
And remember, stay excited, everyone.
Have you ever woken up from a terrible nightmare and wondered what it meant? Wondered why monsters stalk you within your subconscious mind? Hi, I'm Charlie Conlon, creator of the Knowing My Nightmares podcast. Turn off your lights, put your headphones on, and listen as each episode is like a campfire-style horror story based on my actual nightmares. I then break down each element within the dream, explaining what messages your subconscious is trying to tell you and what it could mean in your waking life, as well as exploring the lore behind the supernatural monsters within the nightmare. Subscribe to the Knowing My Nightmares podcast. It's immersive, informative, and frightening. Remember, if things get too scary, you can always wake up.